You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10pm with Gary Capewell, John Babb and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Leicester and Lingfield are the two afternoon meetings, so a bit of jumping and a bit of action on the all-weather poly track. We also have more all-weather action in the evening as well from Kempton Park. Just the three meetings this Wednesday because Hexham abandoned due to waterlogging. Right now though, we're going to look ahead to the rest of Wednesday's action. My name's Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
Good afternoon, Mark. I'm very well, thanks.
Good. Glad to hear it. We'll start with a little bit of news as we usually do, and then we'll get stuck into Wednesday's action. Good racing coming up this weekend at Cheltenham, and one of the big races to look forward to is the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. 7-1 the field at the moment on our betting. Irish Cavalier 7-1 at the top of the market. 8-1 for Bywise, 9s for Anacotti and Art Moresque. Champagne West another at 9-1. 10s for Little John, Sound Investment and Village Vic, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Do you have an early opinion on the race?
I don't have a tremendously strong opinion. I think it looks very open. I think a few of those at the head of the market are beatable. There are obvious enough ones in there. Bywise will have a different jockey in the race. Obviously, Paul Maloney is normal jockey.
Yeah.
A few have been critical of Paul's tactics on Bywise, holding up right at the back of the field, and he tends to get going too late. But every time he's run at Cheltenham, he's absolutely stormed up the hill. And it'd be interesting to see how he would fare if produced a little bit sooner. The issue with him, of course, is that if you get him going a little bit too soon, his jumping can fall apart.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how Adam Wedge gets on with him. He's booked up, jocked up already, and Bywise has always given the impression that one of these races is liable to fall to him, and he's still fairly handicapped off a mark of 152. At a big price, you've got to forgive a couple of poor runs, but I'm convinced that we'll see something more of Generous Ransom this season. He was a winner over Course and Distance in January in the Timeform Novices Handicap Chase, which worked out really well. He had Irish Cavalier behind him that day, for example. And he's not really gone on from it, but he's dropped to a reasonable mark now based on his novice form. He's only got 10-2 in his back. Nick Gifford hasn't been having winners, that's the issue, but he's not been having many runners either. He's a yard who they don't do an awful lot through the autumn, really,
no.
Do Nick's horses. So I'm just hoping that the horses will gradually find their form. And he's worth a second look. You need to bypass a few moderate runs from him, but he's going to be 20-1 plus. I think he's 20s in the market at the moment, and he's not going to catch the public imagination either. So
no.
You could get bigger odds about
him. Because you've talked.
Well, I have pointed, but I'm not suggesting he's any kind of certainty.
Right.
And he wouldn't necessarily be getting my money, but I think he's interesting at a big price, given that we know what to expect of most of these. I do like Salubrious as well. I think he'd want further than 2.5 miles, though. I think Salubrious will stay beyond 3.
Mm.
So while he's got better to come over fences, he's a horse who's gone chasing rather late. I think he took a fall when he was schooled over fences as a younger horse. Whether it was actually over fences or whether it was in the yard, but it meant that Paul Nicholls abandoned the initial plan to go chasing with him. And he was a Cheltenham Festival winner as a hurdler as well. He'll be wanting to follow through the winter, but the 2.5 mile here is probably just on the sharp side for him. But a very interesting race on paper. It'd be interesting to see how many of those turn up on the day.
Yeah.
18. Still engaged at the 5-day stage.
Yeah, got that to look forward to at the weekend. One thing I'm looking forward to this weekend as well is Peace & Co. running in the International Hurdle. Unbeaten so far, he won the Triumph Hurdle last season, and talk of him turning into a champion hurdle horse, this will be the first real sign if he runs well there, won't it? Well, he'd have to win it, but...
Yes, he'll be... He'd have 11-4 to carry, so as a young hurdler, he'd be giving weight away to one or two others in the race. In saying that, those who've only got 11 stone might be a little bit harder to win with. It's always a tough little race. It doesn't always go to the best horse because of the nature of these Grade Two contests, and horses who've won at the higher level have to give weight away. But I mean, Nicky Henderson could have his 1-2-3 from the Triumph Hurdle. They're all still engaged in this. He's got Hargam, who was a little disappointing when he made his reappearance. He's also got Top Notch in there as well, who's had a couple of quick runs, surprisingly quick runs in actual fact, and in those valuable events at Haydock and Newcastle. We're suggesting that Nicky thinks Top Notch might be a little bit behind Champion Hurdle Standard. But Peace and Cool has always been the big talking horse there. He's not the most impressive of the three to look at. The other two are maybe a little bit bigger than him, Top Notch particularly, having the look of a chaser about him. But Peace and Co is very speedy and very, very slick at a hurdle, and that's the key to him. He's by a French Guineas winner, and he's a little bit of a freak on breeding. But he showed at Doncaster last year that he was very, very good, both from one side of a hurdle to the other, and also through the closing stages of that race. Mm. Backed that up by winning the Triumph Hurdle Trial at Cheltenham, and then was impressive in the big race itself. How much scope he has in physical terms, I'm not entirely sure, but we're still just scratching the surface with how good he is. And when he's put into better company, he's probably going to show better form. So he's an exciting prospect.
Yeah. One other story that's caught my eye in the news. Special Tiara. Apparently, the quote is, deserved to win the Tingle Creek, according to his owner, Sally Rowley Williams. Do you agree with that? And they're considering appealing.
In a manner of speaking, with a different run through, he might well have won it. And he was a bit unlucky in the run, but should he have been given the race? I mean, that's the thing. Shearers' inquiries aren't about giving horses who've met bad luck. Oh, you're a bit unlucky there, have the race. That's not how it goes. And although it's not what the stewards looked at, I think the fact that it was a collision in mid-air means that has to go down largely as an accident. It wasn't preordained by jockey or horse. It was accidental interference. It did cost him momentum, but it was difficult to tell at the time whether the winner was idling or not.
Yeah.
And you know, if it was deliberate interference, that's fair enough. I think you should always err on the side of the beaten horse where there is deliberate interference. And I think there are more cases of that year on year because of the way the rules are. But this definitely wasn't one of them. And horses can be unlucky at any point of a race.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you deserve to get that race. And I don't really buy this notion that he should have been awarded the race by the stewards. I think the stewards had an impossible task disqualifying the winner, quite frankly. And I don't see any point of an appeal. I think one of the problems here is that the rules aren't specific enough. If a beaten trainer or connections of a beaten horse in a steward's inquiry look through the rules, there's nothing there to give them an indication as to why they shouldn't have been given the race.
Yeah.
The rules are a mess, quite frankly, in terms of not just... I'm not suggesting that the guidelines to stewards are wrong, but if you try to find out what those guidelines are looking at the British, the BHA rules, you'd be rifling through about five different books. You're bouncing around from different places on different websites to find out what the rules are, and you don't actually find out at the end of the day. So you can see why people who've been, who've not got a result don't go, ah, right, I see where the stewards are coming from. They'll just think that they've been robbed. So I can see why they want to appeal, but I think it's totally pointless.
It's the argument that happens all the time with stewards' inquiries. The rules aren't necessarily clear enough, and they're too open to somebody's interpretation. They're not black and white, hard and fast rules, are they?
No, and I went through this yesterday because I was thinking of writing a blog about it and saying this is exactly what the stewards were looking at. There's actually nothing in the rules at the moment to tell you what the stewards are looking at, other than they must deem that if the interference has affected the result, they should disqualify the winner. But they do have guidelines, but those no longer seem to be published anywhere.
No.
So they're almost a secret document. And as a result, it's difficult to get closure if you happen to be someone like Sally Rowley Williams. But that's life.
That's what all the people say.
Indeed.
Anything else?
Sales should be flying high in April.
Yes. Anything else got you around the news before I move on?
Well, HWPA Awards yesterday. All fun and games. It's not all about the winners, of course, and we're trying to get the gossip from Ken about Sam who was misbehaving, which is much more interesting for people like us than who's the owner of the year, which is a bit of a... It's pretty obvious, you know, who the leading trainers and owners and jockeys were.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's nice to have a bit of a shindig for that, but it's of no concern to us, is it?
No, it's more of a celebration for them, really, isn't it?
Exactly. Suppose, rather than... If they had a little bit of fisticuffs afterwards, then that's of interest.
Well, rumour has it that Pimmers and KP were squaring up to each other a little bit.
Really? Oh, I like that.
It was all fun and games. It was just a picture, I think. But and I spoke to Ken this morning, and apparently everyone was very well behaved, which is
Ken suggested to us that there were things that he can't talk about.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
so it's up to David Kellner to wheedle that out of him.
All right, well, good stuff. Let's leave that there anyway and get stuck into matters a little bit more pressing. We've got Wednesday's racing coming up. Rory's got four races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Wednesday's action. We're going to look at four races. The first of them is the 225 at Lingfield. This one is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. A field of 10 to go to post here, Rory. It's going to be quite an open event as well. Who do you like in there?
There's a horse that I've been with a couple of times recently who's just not been getting the rub of the green. That's Outer Space. He's been in races that haven't been run to suit his style. He's a hold-up horse who's had not a great deal of luck in running, particularly two starts ago, and he was sixth at Chelmsford. But if you want to watch that race again, he is boxed up with nowhere to go for 3 furlongs. Adam Kirby was only able to sit there and suffer, clearly going very, very well indeed. I would say going best of all, but with no path through at all. And he just sat there with a double handful, no gap appearing. And again, he didn't really get the race run to suit and a good third there last time out. He's clearly reasonably handicapped off a mark of 91. He's run creditably in his last 5 starts off marks that mark or within a pound of it. And he finally gets a race that should suit him. He's got Crazy Chic, who may be favourite for this, Marco Botti's filly. He was unlucky at Chelmsford last time out, having won over this course and distance before that. So he looked progressive, and he'll be popular enough in the betting. He can go forward. Hillbilly Boy is drawn on the inside of the selection. He only has one way of running, and that is going hard from the front. So he's liable to make the pace at a strong one as well. And he's got the class to stay there, so they won't leave him alone in front. So I'm hoping that with Hillbilly Boy setting it, and the likes of Crazy Chic, Mark Johnson's runner can go forward as well. Publilia and Certificate tends to race reasonably handily. Arnold Lane is drawn widest of all. He might drop in from that draw, but he has been handy when running well in 2 of his last 3 starts. So he's another one who could go forward. And suddenly you've got a well-run race for the first time in an age for Outer Space. He's got a lovely draw on stall 2 to track them through, and all he needs is the gaps at the right time to go very close indeed. So he's a default choice for me there.
Outer Space, the selection for Rory in the 225 at Lingfield. The 235 at Leicester is where we go next. And just a note as well, all races at Leicester on Wednesday. It's money back if your horse finishes second, up to £25, providing there are 5 or more runners in the race. There are 12 in this race, Rory, so it fits the criteria. Who would you like here for this handicap?
It's a race that Nigel Twiston Davis won last year with the Musical Guy, and he's got a couple in it this time around who are both interesting on paper. My thinking is that I will get a big price for my selection because it looks like the neglected from the yard. Valid Point has joined Nigel Twiston Davis from the now-retired Jim Old. Runs in the colours of Wally Sturt, who was Jim's main owner. And as a result, Mark Grant rides Wally Sturt's horses. It wouldn't be the most fashionable jockey these days, Mr. Grant. And you won't get Rich backing his mounts as a rule. So I'm hoping that he ends up being a biggish prize, but he's a regular jockey for Valid Point, and he won a similar race here in January on this horse. He'd have needed the run over hurdles on his return at Cheltenham. This is much more his track, and I'd expect him to bounce back to form. If he was the Twiston Davis only runner in the race, I think he'd be a short enough price. But because Nigel's got 2 and Muckle Rowe looks to have decent chances, having gone off a short price last time at Stratford when falling, I think Muckle Rowe will start shorter in the betting than Valid Point. Hopefully, odds compilers and punters alike will allow Valid Point to go off a double-figure price. And if that's the case, then he'd be an each-way selection. It's a very open race. You can make a case for plenty of these. Another one that I thought was worth a mention, a horse whose form has rather dipped in recent times, Foundation Man. Fantastic pedigree. He's by presenting out of a Function Dream, who was top-class race mare herself and has produced top-class performers as well. The problem with Foundation Man is, like a lot of big horses, and he's an absolute giant, he's got serious breathing problems, which means that he's never been able to fulfil his potential. But he's the kind of horse who will fall in a race like this when he's dropped down the handicap far enough that he doesn't have to come off the bridle. So once his wind doesn't have to be tested in a race, he will look very impressive again. And when he has won races, he's looked very good. But that's the thing, he's ended up winning on the bridle. And when he's put into harder races or forced to race on soft ground, then his breathing lets him down. But he is the type to pop up at a big price at some stage.
Yeah, as a horse I've followed already this season. I backed him at Weatherby on his reappearance. And like I say, he's a very big horse and he travels well through his races, but he just stops very quickly.
Yeah, once he comes off the bridle, he stops. And it's not about being genuine. It's just about not having the tools there to keep himself going in a race. Yeah. But, you know, one day he will get rolling along and he won't have to come under pressure to hold them off. And again, you'll think, how was that ever a 16-1 shot?
Yeah.
Which he might not be tomorrow, but he's tissued up at around that price, so you never know.
Yeah, he's very well handicapped on his old form as well. Would you split your stakes on the two then? Would you go for two?
No, I think Foundation Man's worth a mention, but he's the kind of horse you couldn't back with much confidence at this stage. But, you know, if he's allowed to drift to a biggish price, then he's worth bearing in mind. But I will back Valid Point each way, assuming that he's not put in at a short price. I think he'll end up being bigger than his form entitles him to be.
All right, Valley Point then, the selection for Rory in the 2.35. The 3.35 at Leicester next. This one is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, or 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs, really. 8 of them in the lineup here. Same rules apply. There's more of 5 runners, so if your horse finishes second, you get your money back up to £25. Who do you like in the 3.35, Rory?
It's another tough contest. I'm inclined to go with the improving Spacewalker. Again, this is price dependent to a large degree because he comes from a yard that's hitting top form at the moment, Ben Pauling, and Nico de Boinville takes over from Maurice Linehan. He might just be heavily backed. He might be put in pretty short in the betting, and it is competitive. But he took a big step forward on his previous form over hurdles when runner-up at Warwick last time out, beaten less than a length by Dzinski. He did make the running that day and might have benefited from doing so. But he's also got an opportunity of setting the pace again here. And hopefully that's a sign that he's just maturing and is able to step forward. It's worth pointing out that he didn't build on his initial effort over hurdles last season. But, of course, he needed his subsequent runs to get a handicap mark. So it's only natural that he should start improving now. And Ben Pauling is in tremendous form. And Nico de Boinville continues to be an underrated jockey. He's a very safe pair of hands indeed. So while you can make a case for plenty of these, and Thatcher's Gold was tempting from a yard I like a lot, the yard of Henry Oliver. He ran on well to win it. So you talked to her last time out on heavy ground. The ground again will be on the soft side here, and Henry Oliver does well at the track. So he looks a big danger. And a strongly run race will suit him because he'll stay beyond this trip. But I will, in the hope of getting a half-decent price, and the suggestion on the tissue that I have here is that Spacewalker will be 7-2. That would be fair enough. I wouldn't want to be backing him at 2-1 or shorter, but if he's anywhere near his tissue price, then I'll have a go on him.
Okay, Spacewalker then Ferrari there. And the 7-10 at Kempton is where we finish. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 1 mile and 3 furlongs. 14 of them in the lineup here. It's going to be a nice each-way shape to the race, Rory. Who do you like in there?
The horse I like here is Daniel Kubler's Tremulet, who's been running well in similar contests. Had a bit of a blip at Wolverhampton in September and October. He won his first handicap start at Wolverhampton in the summer. He ran well next time out. Then for whatever reason, his form dipped on his next two starts. Probably wasn't ready to step up to 2 miles on the first of those and didn't really stay. And he benefited from a drop back to 1.5 at Kempton last time out when finishing third to the well handicapped 2 Jabs. Travelled very, very strongly in that race from the front. Might even benefit from this further drop in distance to 1 mile and 3. And that was probably a career best effort from Tremulet. And although he's a 6-year-old, he's not had that much racing. His dam was a very useful middle distance performer in these colours as well for the Middlebrooks Riberac. And he's a son of Teofilio, or Teofilo, I should say. And I think given the run of the race, most of his main rivals are hold-up horses. There's one or two. Goodnight Susie has gone forward in the past, and Jolly Vitesse has gone forward, but haven't been doing so recently. I think there's a chance that Tremulet could get an easy lead here. And if he does, and his rider can judge the fractions correctly, Tom Quealy's been seen him winning action recently, I think he could surprise a few of these.
Yeah, he's had three or four winners already this month, hasn't he, Tom Queeley, from not many rides. Members,
yeah, he's a bit of a streaky jockey, as Tommy said. Confidence is key with him, and he's riding with a lot of confidence at the moment. So that's the kind of jockey you want on a front runner.
All right, good stuff, Rory. As usual, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Wednesday one more time.
In the 225 at Lingfield, I have gone with Outer Space. The 235 at Leicester, Valid Point is my each-way selection. In the 335, assuming a reasonable price, I will be weighing in with Spacewalker. And finally, in the 710 at Kempton, the selection there is Trimulay to make all the running.
Superb. Good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Wednesday.
Thank you very much indeed.
There you go. The thoughts of Rory De Laghi on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. Gary Capewell, John Babb and Chris Pimlott will be the team in the studio. It's Leicester and Lingfield on Wednesday afternoon and Kempton in the evening. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.